Gotta do it again, people.
Ain't no stopping now. I know. I know. Ain't no stopping now. We got the group. We got it.
Well, we thank you again, those of you who have just tuned in to the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Line. Those of you in the BBS radio audience, we are thankful for you, and we're glad you're here tonight. We're going to continue our discussion concerning religion and politics, and that we have picked up with Jordan Maxwell and the Honorable Dr. Delphi Blair, and we were hoping to get Santos Bonacci on to talk to us a little bit. Unfortunately, we do not, and we will not have Mr. Maxwell on tonight, but we do want to continue our discussion that we've had concerning religion. And I want to read a couple of passages of scripture that I found that I think will be interesting and that will serve as a foundation for our discussion tonight. So having said that, I'm thankful again, those of you who are just tuning in, to have my nephew with me here. We are broadcasting live from our location here in Greenville, Mississippi. Last week, we looked at the parallels between Horus and Asa in Kemet and Jesus Christ, and we studied some historic facts as it relates to the dates and times of these stories, and we're going to continue that discussion tonight, and hopefully Dr. Blair will be in with us to clean up and can talk a little bit about that as well. What we want to do tonight is move into that and maybe have a little time to talk about pineal gland activation so that we can activate our macabre, our electromagnetic energy fields. Mer is light, ka is spirit, ba is body. It is a vehicle of ascension. And we all have been given a marvelous gift by the Most High, the Creator, which is this light spirit body, where we can increase the vibrations of our temple, as we know is very much necessary in these times in which we are living. So let's dig right in tonight. I found an interesting passage, a couple of passages that are in the Bible. And I see the Chancellor from Ohio has just joined us. I don't know if he has the host code or not. I'm going to try to text that to him and multitask here because I want his input on these passages that we're going to discuss tonight. And the passages are taken from Revelation chapter 17 and chapter 18. Revelation 17 and 18. And it says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vows and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And she carried me, and he carried, pardon me, and he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, and upon her forehead a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." And then he goes on to say in Revelation chapter 18 and verse number 4, it says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sins, and that she receive not of her plague." Now, we need to make a determination, and we need to identify who is the her that this particular passage that's found in the Revelation, which is the last book in the Bible. It says, come out of her, my people. We need to find out who the her is that we need to come out of. And we need to find out who is this mystery Babylon. And if I had to tag this discussion with a subject tonight, I would call it Murder, She Wrote. Because Murder, She Wrote is a kind of television episode that solves mysteries. And this is a mystery here because it says Mystery Babylon is her name. And she's called the whore. And she's called the mother of harlot. And not only is she called a mystery, but she's also involved in murder. She is drunken with the blood. It's violence. It's blood. And not only is she involved with murder and mystery, she's also involved with money, luxury, because she's clothed with purple, which is symbolic of luxury, and with scarlet. And she's decked with pearls and precious stones. So whoever this her is, this mystery woman, she has become or has made a business out of bloodshed that has brought much money. And this particular passage says that we as the people of the Most High ought to come out of her. So we need to figure out who she is. Who is she? So that's the discussion. That's the question tonight. Who is this mystery woman that has made money by being violent and shedding the blood of righteous people? And I'm going to leave that question hanging over your minds and over your heads tonight and see who's willing to take a hold of that question mark and yank it and turn it into an exclamation point and give us some answers tonight. I just want to throw that question out tonight. We also, tonight, as we discussed, there are many things Dr. Blair had talked about concerning this past Saturday, that there would be a tremendous solar flare and that there would be a flash and power would go out. Some people would die, if I remember correctly, which is sad, to say the least. But tonight, let's talk about hope and what we can do in order to rise above all of the things, all of the pressures, all of the stress points that are being placed upon us in our society. And I think by identifying this particular person tonight moves us, her, that we need to come out of. Because this particular her will relieve stress and relieve the tension for us. It will free us. It will allow us to come even closer in the ascension process. So, Midwest, if you're there tonight and you're still with us and not on mute, what are your thoughts concerning this particular mystery Babylon, this her coming out of her that is a mystery and has made money out of murder? Any thoughts on that tonight?
Oh, I have lots of thoughts.
Okay, well, let's hear what you have to say about it. We'll start with you.
Well, to me, and what I've known for years, is that is the harlot, is the one who sits on the seven hills in Rome. It's the Holy Roman Catholic Church. And all churches, regardless of what name they're called, fall under the umbrella of the Holy Roman Catholic Church. Even Islam is a creation of the Holy Roman Catholic Church. That's just me.
Islam is a creation of the Roman Church.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So has Islam made money by murdering? Is Islam guilty? Let's be factual here. Are you saying tonight that, and this is kind of dangerous territory you're on, but most of the commentaries that I've read point to the Roman Church, but you just made an observation that it's all churches, so you're making an observation based in fact that Protestantism, as well as Catholicism, is guilty of making money by shedding blood? And if so, could you point to an example to prove your point?
Yes. Actually, if people can investigate this, you can go to YouTube and or Google or whatever you want to use as a search engine, and you will find that Pope Benedict, you know, the one that stepped down last year, actually made a pilgrimage over to all of the Islamic churches and sat with them to unite everything into the New World Order's one world religion. And the Islamic caliphates and the imams agreed to join in with the Pope for the one world religion. It's out there. Do your research.
Wow. I read something about that. So that's very interesting that they're going to, I think, I forgot the exact name. Chrislam is the title, the word, I think, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
What
right.
they call this new brand of merging all religions together, Chrislam.
Mm-hmm.
as we look at this passage and look at this scripture and see that this is, in fact, a woman, and knowing that the book, the Bible, was written in codes, we have to understand what the symbolism of a woman is as used in the Bible. The Bible uses symbols. And, of course, this is not a literal woman that's sitting on a literal beast. It is symbolic. And, of course, a mystery is something that is there, but you need to put the pieces together to see the entire puzzle, or you need to uncover the fact. It's not that it doesn't exist, but it's something that you have to look at symbolically, and you have to also put the pieces together to understand. So I have a Abednego L. I don't know if you were in with an open mic. I don't know if you're prepared. Are you on the open mic tonight, Abednego, Pastor Abbott? Anyone else on the open mic with us tonight? Dr. Blair? Dr. Blair is here. Yeah, I see him right there. Dr. Blair, you want to talk a little bit for us tonight? Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening to you. Good evening to everyone. Yes, it's my pleasure again to join you at the time when the election has happened, at the time when the selection of sunspots is being radical, at the time when quakes and earthquakes and things are happening, at the time, again, when people are beginning to wake up and question. And, of course, behind all this stuff comes the Ebola. And as I listened again to, Midwest talk about the Chrislam, yes, the bringing together of the nations through religion has always been the goal of the usurpers, because there should be really, as I mentioned many times before, as I'm concerned, there should not be religions. There should be spirituality. But as you know, I'm not saying anything and everybody else doesn't know, there have been more wars fought over religion on this planet, more killings and maimings into the billions. I didn't say millions, billions, over just my religion's better than yours. So when you get that, it's no longer religion. It's a division of the spirit and a condemnation of the soul. So what I'm saying is at this time now, it's like a reconciliation. It's like the Green Reaper sweeps through the city and cuts down the things that are already too big. But then when it gets down to the level it should be, maybe everybody can now grow equally. And, of course, that scythe now, that Reaper, is the sun. And as I mentioned before, and I say that, and I don't want to keep saying I said so, but I did. I mentioned about 2 weeks ago, I said, you watch. I said, with the kind of sunspot activity that's happening and the coronal mass ejections coming from the sun, it could cause a catastrophe. It could cause a blackout, brownout, anything. Well, they've had close to 10s of billions of people in Indonesia have already had last week 6 hours worth of darkness. And this could happen to us at any time. So I'm thinking again, if the world religions cannot come together, and if people are still divided by religion, it's going to take it even further, because now it's going to blame those who say, well, your religion is no good, and it's the devil within you, or then it's the saint within you, which is neither of that. It's a change on the planet, and the planetary government who knows what's happening is going deep into the ground trying to hide, and now they're trying to make you have anything to divert your attention from what's happening, in addition to actually seeding and causing plagues, because we're finding out now that they're trying to bring back some kind of a mosquito plague, a monkey plague, a fish plague. All of these things are just horrible. It just shows you the negativity of some people based with the when a planet is trying to grow and become more spiritual. So, yeah, I've never had much truck for religion ever since. This is why I got out of it. At the time, I was all for it because I thought it was a uniting force. Now that I know it's a dividing force, I think nothing of religions because all of them are doing the same thing, making one or two people rich and the congregation poor and hating other people and withholding their thoughts from other people when we're all here as souls trying to make it. So that's an overview from my point.
Well, that is definitely, Dr. Blair, since we have your wisdom and your knowledge in terms of history, and you've told us a countless number of times that this book that we call Revelation was not written by the person whom we give credit to in the Bible, John, but you told us that Apollonius of Tyana, and I've done some research there myself. I've not drawn conclusive proof as you have, but the evidence and the information is nonetheless out there that Apollonius of Tyana wrote this book, and he was in a kind of trance, or he was a kind of seer. So this book does not really belong to the people that it has been assigned or ascribed to. So this information here, as we talk about religion as versus spirituality and religion, I usually like to classify it in this way, that religion is knowledge. Spirituality gives you the experience. Pythagoras, when he went to the priest of Chemist, told them that he wanted the knowledge but not the discipline. They said, we can't do that. He said, why? He said, because, one, this has to be experienced in order for you to know it. And that is the difference, I believe, in spirituality and religion. Now, religion, if we dig at this a little bit, this come out of her, and if what we have heard so far tonight is true, that this is organized religion. And then if we look to the example of the gospel stories and try to place in juxtaposition the life of the Christ and see if he was religious or spiritual. And what I found, each time that there was a discourse between the person of the Christ in the Bible, in the New Testament, and religion, there was always a conflict. He ran into conflicts with the established religious order. And if you find an instance where he comes in contact with organized religion, not the individual case with Nicodemus, that we like to classically because he's an organized religionist, but in almost every instance when he comes into contact, even down to the very end, if you look at the beginning to the end, it is religion that seeks to kill him at his birth, and it is religion that finally kills him or orders his unjust trial and then orders his execution. Religion does this. So are we being too hard with this? We want to hear what you have to say about it. You can come into the queue. You can talk. You can speak on this subject. And we're going to open up the queue in just a moment for you to talk on this subject, since we have Dr. Blair here and others that are here that may want to speak to this issue. I contend that organized religion, we must come out of her in order to make the ascension. I do not believe that it will be possible for us to increase our vibrational energies and to activate, stimulate our pineal glands and activate our macabre, which is our electromagnetic energy fields, that will cause us to ascend and cause us to go to higher dimensions. I do not believe, it's my personal belief, that that will not happen inside of organized religion. just based upon the information I've just shared with you tonight, that the Christ himself was in constant conflict with organized religion. From birth, he was hounded and finally executed by organized religionists. So it stands as a profile to me of the passage that we read tonight, that there is money in religion, there's murder in religion. The mystery that keeps people, keep people in the dark about religion is because it feels so good. It's good. It really feels good. But everything that feels good to you, I know this is an old, well-worn, threadbare, colloquial expression. Everything that feels good to you is not good for you. There's a lot of wisdom in that little simple phrase. So, nonetheless, we're going to open up the queue now. Elijah, I'm going to give this a try. I don't see you in the audience anywhere. I don't see you on the board.
Q&A session is over.
So we're going to
open. Q&A session started. Q&A session is over. Q&A session started.
Okay, I'm dabbling back and forth here. And those of you who would like to ask a question. Pardon me? Right. There you are.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, all right. We got the queue open. Those of you that want to come into this discussion with Dr. Blair tonight, our topic is Murder, She Wrote. You can come in, and we can solve this mystery about who the she is, come out of her, rather. I'm sorry. Revelation 18 and 4. Had this discussion today. Had this discussion today with some pastors. Who is the her that we must come out of in order to not be a part of her sin and partake of the plague, partakers of her sins and receive not of her plagues. So we need to identify this her. The Q&A session is open. Anyone, I have 1-706. Let me see if I can give a stab at this. What do I do, man? Wes, just hit the question mark?
Hit the question mark, yes.
All right, thank you. You're teaching me. All right, 706, you're up.
Hello. Thank you, everyone. This is Anthony calling out of Athens, Georgia. When you speak of come out of her, far as my understanding is that basically come out of her meaning basically come out of her will be, I didn't get froze up a little bit. Living in her society, taking partakes of the image and you know, of the beast, and not partaking of her fruits of labor, meaning that the GMOs, not living with the earth, not getting back in tune with the earth, and being too caught up in today's society, work, church, just the mundane everything that everybody goes through in life. So the people have to be reborn. Reborn means reborn of the spirit, meaning like dealing with some of the advanced things that we've been talking about and you've been bringing forth with the Merkabah and elevating your consciousness. So come out of her would mean a rebirth of the physical, and not we know we in this system and we're going to have to deal with it, but we can still not be of it, totally of it. If anything, I think it kind of, you know, makes sense. That's why I get out of it.
Okay. Well, Anthony, you're entitled to your opinion, and we do thank you for being courageous enough to step into this room and on the radio waves to voice that opinion. And as usual, it is always a pleasure to hear you.
All right. Thank you. Same here.
Peace and love to you, man.
Peace.
All right. You have an opportunity to come on in and to speak your piece on the radio waves. And we're having this discussion about who is the her here that we need to come out to raise our vibrations to not receive or partake of her sin. And the sins of pretty much laid out. This system or this woman that's the symbol of a system has gotten very rich according to chapter 17 and verse 4. She's gotten very rich. She's arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. But the golden cup is full of abominations and filthiness and fornication. And up on her head was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So you're welcome to come into this discussion. Verse 6 says that she's drunken with the blood of the saints. She's very rich. She's made money by shedding blood. And she rides a beast that has seven heads. She's sitting on top of a beast. And this beast that she rides has seven heads. And this book, according to this book, this document, we are told to come out of her. Now, I don't know if that is like Anthony just said, come out of the earth or the world. We know we are in the world. We can't really come out until we are taken out of the world. But this is a mystery, so we're trying to unravel this mystery. You're welcome to come into this discussion. Abednego, you're there. I see you in the open mic. Why don't you speak up for us tonight?
Yeah, I'm here. Excuse me, can you hear me?
Hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, you said Murder, She Wrote. and I believe she's still murder. The seven mountains that he speaks of, I believe, are the seven world powers. This woman who is described as a whore, a harlot, Bishop, I believe that it must be America. You know, America is bloodthirsty. She's rich. She's wealthy. She has drunk the blood of her own people, and now she is drinking so much blood. She's drunk. She's drunk off sin, and I believe John's saying that she's in the final judgment. She's in her last day. And to tell the truth, this is the fall of America, the hidden Babylon, who has stuck her neck up again from the sands of time, labeled right here as a picture. Fall of America. That's my concept.
Well, you know, again, we respect your opinion, and we thank you for having courage to step into this, but let me call your attention to something that may cause you to think a little deeper about America. It says, this is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So we're looking at a system or something, an entity that has more antiquity than America. We're looking at a system that stretches into the matriarchal womb of antiquity to be the mother. So we're looking at a system that has antiquity. We're not just looking at a system that's recent. So with that understanding, and understanding that she's sitting on a beast with seven heads, let's see if we can count the world's empires. We know that the first world's empire was Egypt, according to history. Second world empire was the Assyrian empire. The third world empire was the Babylonian empire. The fourth world empire was the Persian empire, or what we call Iran. The fifth world power was Alexander, the Greek, and the Grecian Empire. And the sixth empire was the Roman Empire. And we have a date that the Roman Empire, we say it failed. And then there's one more empire that is represented here in the seven heads that will be the world dominant superpower. And I don't see but one other superpower that has come after Rome. Now, let me just throw this question out. What empire replaced the Roman Empire as the dominant empire that dominates the world at the present time? I'll leave that question out there. We're having a discussion. Those of you who are in the radio audience, you can join this discussion by calling 712-775-7085. And the participant code is 568788 pound. Those of you who are in radio audience, you can participate in this conference, in this call. Okay. Now, here is the good news, and we're moving along pretty quickly, swiftly here tonight. Then we're going to let Dr. Blair take it away for us, give us some goodies, because I'm almost to the end of what I wanted to share. In 2002-03, I introduced the concept I was what they call in the ministerial alliances as a pastor. I was a civics chairperson. I was in charge of civic affairs, which meant that I was a bridge or a liaison between the clergy group and the civic leaders, the people that were in civic office or ecclesiastical and civic affairs. So I was that person. And in 2004, I managed to put together an organization to bring all of the divided ministerial groups or different ministerial groups that had divided themselves off into one group, and we had unity. This is how I did it. And I want to read to you what I did and what I recommended to the brothers to bring all of them together. This was white and black, by the way. And it's found in the book of John, and it's only three verses. And it says, let me read four, take that back. This is the quote-unquote prayer, Lord's Prayer, the real prayer, not the model prayer in Matthew 6, but the Lord's Prayer that he prayed in John 17. Verse 20 says this, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. Now, unity, first of all, the master in this model prayer is praying for unity. This is why we have a prayer wheel. I believe that the collective prayers, I was sent a piece just the other day by Midwest about research, and evidence shows that the collective prayers of individuals raises and heals communities. There have been studies done in London to show that crime rates have gone down. People have gotten miraculous healings when groups get together in unity and pray. And the way I was able to bring the groups together, the different ministerial groups, and there were several of them. There was the Baptist Ministers Union, there was the IMF, in a denominational ministerial union. That was the Bay Cities Baptist Ministers Union of Bay Cities and Vicinities. There was the Pastors of Oakland. There were different ministerial groups. We got together. And how we did it was we decided that we would pray together. Now, we have a unique tool inside of the royal nation called the prayer wheel, where we leave political agendas, we leave religious agendas, dogmatic doctrinal differences. We don't split hairs over who's right or who's wrong or what color you are or what you believe in. We simply submit vibrational praise names in our prayer wheel to raise the vibration without getting into the discussion of who's right and who's wrong and who knows more and who knows less and who's right about whether women should be allowed or whether gays should be allowed. None of that is a consideration inside of the prayer wheel. Inside of the prayer wheel, it is simply a mechanism to bring us into unity before a presence and unite us with the Most High through a simple praise vibration without projecting intent, only using the vibrational names that we give to bring about unity and to raise us. And that is not religious, brothers and sisters. That is spiritual. Now, I've been criticized much for trying to do something. Usually the people who don't do anything always try to criticize people who do, and they really can't tolerate. There are some people that are angry that I mention any parts or parcel of extractions of tissue from my experience. They get upset. I'm not quite sure why they do, but they do. I hear it on a day-to-day basis. I'm upset. Right now, I'm under the gun right where I am now. One of my neighbors, because I'm on a historic plantation here in the state of Mississippi, and I don't have to tell you how hostile that environment is, one of my neighbors came to me and said, "You're going to need God to stay on this property." I said, "Well, I brought him with me if I think I know who you're referring to in your conversation. I think he was the one that brought me here." So I'm determined to fight. I'm determined to stay. I'm determined to keep preaching love, truth, justice, freedom, and peace. And that's not easy, brothers and sisters. It's not easy to lay down racial divides of caste and class. It's not easy to lay down social divides of the haves and the have-nots. It's not easy to lay down religious differences. And there are 44,000 different denominations. I think I heard Jordan, that number may be incorrect. But there are so many different denominations with so many different beliefs, but only one prime creator. But yet someone has convinced us that we need to be distinct and different. And everyone believes that their way is the right way. And if you don't believe my way, I'm condemning you to hell. I'm saying that inside the prayer wheel, right, Alanya? We don't tolerate this doctrinal hair splitting, right, Alanya?
Absolutely.
I'm saying that this is a solution to the differences that we have. This is a solution, but yet this solution has fallen under the criticism of even those that claim to be Christian, because that's what Christians are conditioned to do, to find differences. Well, this is not my doctrine. This is not what I believe. And sometimes it's just because it's not a matter of truth. It's whether or not you're the person of my preference. I don't prefer you. It doesn't matter if you're telling the truth or not. You're just not my person that I prefer to have the truth told to me by. So these are the kind of conditions that we need to overcome. So the sad truth, and we're going to turn this over to Dr. Blair because he's going to take us, is that unity can be accomplished. And I found the formula right here through prayer. He says, make them as one. Now watch what happens. He says, this is the thing that has not impression, but impact on the world. What impacts the world? He says that the world may know, that the world may see. Only unity convinces the world that there is a Most High, that there is a prime creator. So now, we could talk more about the history, and hopefully we'll be able to get some more experts back on here to talk about the history. I could go and give you the bloody, violent history of both Catholicism and Protestantism. When I think about the brutalities and the horrors, 10,000 midnights together of the transatlantic slave trade, when I think about the brutality of babies thrown overboard and fed to sharks, and 100 million people, by some accounts, lost in the Middle Passage, cut off, and thrown in the ocean, done by Protestantism. I see no distinction between Protestantism and the Crusades and the Inquisitions of the Catholicism. I see both of them as being bloody and violent, and I'm looking for answers tonight. Dr. Blair, talk to us about the solar flares. Talk to us about vibrational energies. Talk to us about what's happening in the earth. We give the rest of the time to you. You have 15 minutes, 12 minutes to talk to us.
Khalif, before we have Dr. Blair come, could you please put an appeal out to people? Because we started the prayer wheel again today, and we need people for the prayer wheel.
Okay. Well, we did start it back up again, and I think there's only one watch that we're missing, correct?
Correct.
And I'll tell you what I want to do, because I don't want to cut into Dr. Blair's time. I want him to be able to just, you know, talk his heart tonight. Why don't we do it this way? Those of you who are interested in raising your vibration, because the prayer wheel is a tool that will raise the vibrational energies that we've just shown you. Prayer will raise the vibrational energies in a collective way. You get a chance to participate with other people to raise the vibrational energies to have an impact on the world. Let me say this again. Make them as one, that the world, that we will have an impact on the world. Here it is. I don't want you to miss it. This is what I'm saying. So this is your opportunity. If you are out there in the audience, we can get more done together than we can alone. And so I want you to go to MacabreRingOfFireActivation.com. MacabreRingOfFireActivation.com. Or you can go to Khalif Zafnat Pahania L on Facebook and leave a message that you would like to participate in the collective unity of having an impact on world conditions. We can impact chemtrails. We can impact the economy. We can impact the world. But it's going to take us together. It's going to take us together. This is the point that I'm making. We can impact the injustices. We can impact the inequities. We can impact the oppression. We can impact this world, but it will take unity. So we're asking you, if you want to be a part of this process, go to Khalif Zafnat Pahania L. And what are the hours there that we have one wheel, one section, but I think we have some more discussions that we need to have about that. But if you'd like to have a part of this process, go there or to Macabre Ring of Fire Activation, MacabreRingOfFireActivation.com, and you can sign up for this process to have an impact on the world by taking your candle and putting it with the little collect. I have my nephew here. My nephew has talked to us a little bit, and I want him to say hello to the audience, and he's got some things he shared with me last night. He talked to me about something about the sun. And I was interested because I want him to take a few moments, and then Dr. Blair is going to come right behind him. He's going to tell us a little bit about what the sun does and the story we have in our Bible. His name is Robert Elijah. Here he is. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Robert, and I would like to talk to you about the story in the Bible about the three wise men who came to see the birth of Jesus. Okay. With the three wise men. is three stars called Orion's Belt. Okay. The three wise men follow the star on the east. The brightest star on the east, Sirius. The brightest star on the east called Sirius. And on December 24th, Orion's Belt lines up with Sirius. And when the 25th day, there will the sun come from its lowest point and lines up, basically giving out basically the rebirth of the sun. And during that time in the star constellation, it was during the time of the Virgo. And Virgo in Latin means virgin. So, yeah, that's all I like to say about that.
But so what you're telling us is that the story we see in our Bible about a virgin having a baby is also a story in the cosmos in terms of the positioning of the stars. And the date that we celebrate Christmas is actually a cosmic phenomenon that's happening above our head. Is that true?
Yes, it's true right there. And about the 3 days resurrection of Jesus on December 21st, the sun is at the lowest point. And for 3 days, it stays at its lowest point. The 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. And on 25th, it comes back up north. And that sounds like a resurrection to me. So,
wow. So you mean to tell me again that on the 21st of December, the sun falls to its lowest point, symbolic of the crucifixion or being cut off, and the daylight is lessened, in other words, because we now have the shortest day in the year. So the sun light is cut off. And for the next 3 days, you are telling me, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, the sun does not move 1 degree in its, what's that number?
I believe the degree is 26.56.
Wow, you just taught me something I didn't know. The degree is 26.56. This is a 22-year-old. He's identified a cosmological process. He is studying. I'm encouraging him to continue his knowledge. I know there are some that would like to encourage this young man, as I am encouraging him, by allowing him the opportunity at 22 years of age to have the courage to find the answers and facts. What he just gave you were facts that you can observe for yourself. I hope Dr. Blair is still there. Yes, he is. I see him.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, Dr. Blair, you're still on the radio. So you have the last words here on this radio. You got about, I didn't leave you as much time as I want, but give us what's on your heart about what we just said or whatever you want to say.
Well, Mother Earth is being reborn. The womb of Earth is getting rid of all the things that were bad, all the stillbirths that did not make it, that had religion as their food, and the milk of human kindness was not spread at all, but the evils of dope and drugs and money were spread, and so now she's aborting that one. She herself is being reborn, because we're going from the third dimension to the fifth dimension, and on the fifth dimension, there's a whole new set of understandings we have to come into. So as she is being reborn and we are part of her, we then have to understand, are we part of her DNA or her RNA? Are we part of the ones who are going to be spit out? Or can we be reborn as she is reborn, still into her? I think it gets much deeper than it was said before, because now that we understand what's happening in our solar system, what's happening in a supposedly the dimension we're going into, the Milky Way galaxy, there is a rebirth happening. And, of course, the harlot of all has got to be religion. Religion is spread on every continent, and you named them well, because you went on to the great religion, so I'm not going to repeat what you already said. The whole point is now, do we awaken to this new birth? Do we take the foes of afterbirth away and eat of the milk of human kindness, which now is being spread? Or do we go into another war, which they're trying to drive us into, led by disease and Ebola and everything else, as they're trying to manufacture everything they can to make the population of Earth dead in consciousness, dead in spirit, and dead in mind, when we're supposed to be coming a birth, a full birth now? So I think it's the choices we have to make. And it's been well put. If you begin to take and continue these shots, you begin to continue to take all these drugs, if you begin or continue to take all of these things that are, and eat all of these things and drink all of these things that are there, you would be a stillbirth. You will not be born again. You'll be dead. And your carcass will be that these evil ones feed upon. So I think it's an excellent transition. I think it's an excellent time to come awake. And I'd like to add, and then I'll finish up with this one, and say I'm not long-winded, but I do try to get the points and make them salient best I can. I do, again, another presentation this Saturday. It's when I do teaching. And that teaching will be taking a long, hard look at the mental, spiritual, and metaphysical strange events and occurrences behind the world headlines, not the world headlines that grab you. And at that time, we hope that all intelligent people of all races and even of all creeds, if they can come into the seek the truth and are not satisfied with this one, well, we can come together and, as you have stated, send our minds, our spirits, our voices, and our souls into higher consciousness to get rid of all these evil things that are going on, to be born again within the womb of Mother Earth, because Mother Earth herself is leaving around her afterbirth, and she is going to come herself out of her own body.
Dr. Blair, just as we get ready to go off the air, I want you to give the
number for free is 605. It's none of this cost anybody anything. 605-562-3140. And the access code, 833-925. I repeat once more, 605-562-3140, 833-925. And that will be from 2:15 to 4:15 this Saturday, and that's Central Standard Time. I think we should have a ball with that one.
And hope everybody will come and get those wonderful, powerful, behind-the-scenes. You can't trust your media. Let me say a couple of things very quickly. We are inside of a very unique place inside of our solar system, inside of our galaxy, inside of the Milky Way galaxy. We're in what is called the photon belt. And there are green auroras being seen, and there are aurora borealis that stretch from one end of the hemisphere to the other. And there was a beautiful hole in Australia that had a beautiful. We are going to be exposed to some new colors in our solar system, on our planet, that are beyond the red, the orange, the yellow, the green, the blue, the indigo, and the violet. There will be five new colors, which would mean five new vibrations, which means new frequency, which means an upgrade to your DNA. We want to continue to talk about that. But just before we go off the air, I want to say this as sensitively as I can. There is a great tragedy and travesty and injustice to a people. And trust me, I'm saying this as sensitively as I can. There is a group of people that bear a false identity of their conqueror. Their conqueror has given them their names. And until these people who bear the false identity of their conqueror are restored, the world cannot ascend. These people can never be free as long as they wear the identity of their conqueror. They will be conquered people. And the world must restore these people because they're the only people on the planet that have the distinction of wearing the identity of their conqueror. And they're comfortable, content, and complacent to do so without challenge. I beseech you to challenge the conqueror who has taken the audacity of the Creator to assign to you a false identity that is not yours. It's a false vibration in our karma. I challenge you I challenge you to challenge the conqueror who's taken the place of the creator to give you a false identity, a false vibration. I challenge you in love, in truth, in justice, freedom, and peace. Thank you for tuning in. I am Zaphnat Parnia L. You can continue this discussion. Don't hang up. We're not gone. We're just going over to the next part of our show. We are going out now. Thank you.